share their stories of what God has done to provide for us in very specific ways, not just financial or with stuff, but in all kinds of different ways in our lives. And it's good when that happens, isn't it? It's encouraging when God provides for us. But often the bit that I think we struggle with is this bit in the middle, predicament. So we know the promise, we're looking forward to the provision, but the bit in the middle, the predicament, is often the problem. And so you might say, well, what are you on about? What are you talking about? Well, I just want to look very quickly at a story in the Old Testament between Genesis 12 and 22, which is all about Abraham. And just to look for a minute, I said that we would look at where this phrase for God being provider comes from. And this is where it is in this passage. So we're going to do this really super quick. It's just worth saying this. We'll talk in a moment about the names of God, but there's two different types of names for God. There's ones that start El, so Elohim, Elyon, El Shaddai, and these are usually where God is revealing himself to man. And there's another set of names for God that we've been looking at the last few weeks, the Jehovah names for God. And this is they're normally linked to a place where there's an event that takes place, and somebody then attributes this name and says, I'm going to name this place Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, because of a specific event or circumstances. So right here, Genesis, early part of the Bible, obviously. And the first 11 chapters of the Bible, God is known as Elohim, which describes God as the creator, as you'd expect. So people knew God as creator. And pick up the story in chapter 12 of Abraham, and this is where Abraham gets his promise. So the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. You'll be a blessing to others. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Wow, it's a good promise. It's a big promise. It's a good promise. But those of you who know the story will know that there's also a fairly big predicament. This great nation that is going to come from Abraham with many descendants has a fairly significant predicament. His wife, Sarah at the time, is 75 years old and she's barren. So it's a pretty big predicament. And humanly speaking, this situation doesn't quite work, does it? In chapter 12, God says, I'm going to take you on a journey to a land I will show you. He doesn't tell him where he's going. But while he's on this journey, Abraham's on this journey, he hits some problems. I guess like many of us on our life journeys. The first one, he gets to Egypt where there's a famine. The Bible tells us that at 75, Abraham's wife, Sarai, she was a bit of a looker. Bible says she was very beautiful. And Abraham's worried about this. So they arrive at Egypt in the time of a famine. And Abraham says to his wife, he says, listen, pretend you're my sister. Otherwise, with you looking the way you look, they'll probably kill me because they'll be quite keen on you. And Pharaoh indeed takes Sarai as one of his wives until he finds out that it's actually Abraham's wife. And he says, calls Abraham and says, what the heck, what are you doing to me? What are you doing? She's your wife. What's this? Get out of here. And then in chapter 16, another part of the predicament, Sarai says, well, listen, Abraham, if you're going to be the father of nations, then maybe it's not through me directly. And she comes up with an alternative solution. Those of you who know the story, she has a handmaiden, and she says, why don't you borrow my maidservant, and then she can help you. Perhaps that'll be the way that God's going to fulfill the promise. My family says, Abraham agreed. It's kind of like, okay, if I must, it seems like a... Anyway... But this obviously wasn't part of God's plan. If you read the rest of that chapter, there's all kinds of turmoil and kind of relational difficulties. Kind of seems like you might expect that. I would kind of expect a few relational problems, do you, if you've ended up, someone's offered you the handmaiden, and anyway. But then in chapter 17, it says this: when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, this is after all the turmoil and difficulty, he says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. So in the midst of all this, God turns up and he says, I am El Shaddai, which means the all-sufficient one. God's saying, right in the midst of all your turmoil, that I am more than enough. The one who is strong enough to supply whatever you need. Another more literal translation of El Shaddai means God, the mountain one. You kind of think, well, why would he have said that? Why would Abraham identify with that? Well, it's like God saying, you live in a valley, and just like all you can see around you is mountains, which are immovable, well, I'm just like these mountains. Just like these mountains are steadfast. Just like these mountains are bigger than anything else that you can see. I'm that kind of God. I'm a bigger God than your failures and your mistakes. And he says to Abraham, when you realize you can't do it, you know that I can. Well, I'm not going to read all the story now, but there's other occasions as well where Abraham's all over the place. It's like he's in and he's out. He's up and he's down. Sounds like a Katy Perry song, doesn't it? One day he's going to do the things that God tells him, super faith and trust. The next minute, he's not sure God will even keep him alive. And the next minute, he's accepting the offer of handmaidens. Does that sound a bit like your life, my life? Well, not the handmaiden part. But one day we're in trust and in faith for everything. The next day, somehow, we can find ourselves worrying our heads off. Is that right? But after 25 years, finally, the promise is revealed and the provision comes. Isaac is born. God is settling the issue that I am the provider. It's a miracle. God is the provider. And so God reveals himself to Abraham saying, I am El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. And then in Genesis 22, Abraham gets the chance to live out who he is called to be. And obviously all these things have a context. And if the context is the ups and the downs, then actually Genesis 22 is quite amazing. Verse 2, if you're following, says this: then God said, take your son, so this is Isaac, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, which was a mountain region, which is important. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Remember, God had revealed himself as El Shaddai, the God who is a mountain. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he'd cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Steve Hepton was talking to us about third day, wasn't he? You'll see all the symbolism. Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Now Abraham says, we're going to worship God, then we're going to come back to you. God's given him the promise. Look at this. God's given him the promise, and then he asks for it back. But notice the maturity now in Abraham. 25 years on from knowing the promise and seeing it come to pass, now Abraham's become the man of faith, and he doesn't hesitate for a second. He's got the provision in Isaac. Now God says, go and kill him. if we go up the mountain, Abraham says this, if we go up the mountain, well, you know that if he says we go up the mountain and he's going to kill Isaac, and then he says we won't be coming back if that's happened. But now Abraham is a man of faith, and Abraham can see that if God said it, this is really what's going to happen. So let's carry on with the story. Abraham took the wood, verse 6, for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I don't know about the rest of the dads in the room, but I'm not sure I'd have been up for answering that question. Don't know how to put this. But Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them went on together. Abraham picks up the knife, the angel stops him. Many of us know the story, but just think about what is happening. Abraham's going to follow through with this, isn't he? It's not something he's willing to lay all the provision, all the promise that God has given on the line. And that's why later in the Bible, Abraham's referred to as the father of faith. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And here we have it. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. So this is where this phrase Jehovah Jireh comes from, the God who provides. Abraham's come to the maturity of his faith. Now he believes and he trusts God. The word Jireh literally means to see beforehand. And the same word provision means vision, of course, is to see. Pro is before. Provision is to see beforehand. So God provided the ram before Isaac was ever on the altar. I don't know if you thought of this before. The ram didn't miraculously appear. The ram had grown up. So as Isaac's growing up, the ram's growing up somewhere else. And God is already in the business of providing. Isaac and Abraham walk up one side of the mountain. The ram is in the right place at the right time. And of course, it's not about Abraham's performance or about him being good enough. He messed up. But in spite of all that, God saw beforehand, Jehovah Jireh, and provided for him. And now by faith and trust, Abraham received it before he ever saw it. So you might say, well, okay, that's great. What's that got to do with us? The great news is God sees our problem before we ever know we have one. And God's provided before we ever have a need. So actually, if this is how we see the way things work, God gives us a promise, we find ourselves in a predicament, and then there's provision. The way that God sees it is, God provides ahead of beforehand, and he knows we're going to have a predicament. And that's why he gives us a promise. And actually, our perspective, I believe, of how we see that influences the way that we live our lives. Because if we know that God is Jehovah Jireh and that he provides for all his kids, then we can see things differently. You see, it all belongs to God. Let me tell you a story. There was a man who had a bag of donuts. And he was a businessman, and he bought his donuts, and I guess he was in a kind of a food court or something, because he went and sat down with his bag of donuts. But he was busy, and he was planning for meetings, and he had his laptop there, he was working on spreadsheets, and he was a busy guy. All of a sudden, another gentleman approaches him, joins him at the table. Now, this guy is a bit upset, because this was his table. He wasn't really asking for any guests or visitors. And the guy who sits down opposite him suddenly leans forward into this man's bag of donuts and takes a donut out and starts eating it. Now, obviously, this guy is very upset. I can see a few men in the room who are shaking their heads at the thought, the possibility of someone stealing one of your donuts. I'd be the same. And he eats this donut, and he smiles. And the guy is obviously a little bit upset. So in order to mark out his territory a little bit, he brings the donuts a bit closer towards him and takes the donut himself out of the bag and starts eating it. But same thing happens again. The guy opposite him leans forward, has to lean further this time, reaches into the bag and pulls out another donut and starts eating it with a huge, broad grin on his face. At this point, the guy is obviously pretty upset. He's thinking, does this guy know? I work hard for my donuts. These are my donuts. I work hard for my donuts. What does he think he's doing? So he pulls the bag even closer. At this point, it's almost in his lap. The donuts are so close to him. But the other guy hasn't finished yet, and he leans right across, almost into the lap of this man, pulls out a donut. Big smile on his face, starts eating this donut. Now, there's only one donut left in the bag, and the first guy is very upset, annoyed and frustrated. He thinks, that's it, I'm out of here. I'm taking my one donut, and I'm gone. So he bends down to pick up his briefcase, and he sees on the floor his bag of donuts. And he realizes that this other guy has not been stealing his donuts, he's been sharing his donuts. And so he walks out with shame on his face. So what's the point of that story? All the donuts belong to God. The donuts are all his. The donuts all belong to God. And the same Abraham who couldn't trust God to provide him with a son messes up, then realizes that he can put all his faith in God when he tells him that it's time to kill his son. And I think the way that we view how provision comes will determine how we get from the promise to seeing the provision. If you know that your Father in heaven owns all the donuts and therefore provides it all, then we can understand that we can give back the donuts, and there's plenty more where that came from. We won't live in lack, and it's not based on our performance, but it's God who provides. Have to be careful, of course, with this kind of thinking, because there's two possible ways of responding to that. One is we say, well, my performance earns the provision. Not true. God provided it before we knew we needed it. The second thing is, well, if it's all provided for, then I don't need to do anything, because it's just going to come anyway, isn't it? Again, not true either. Some of God's promises are conditional. Some are unconditional. But my perspective positions me, and that's the important thing, to see how I receive the promise provided by God into my life. if we live at one extreme or the other, it just doesn't work. And this message this morning isn't actually about giving. That's not the plan. But if you think, if you know that God owns all the donuts, then it kind of influences the way that you see giving, doesn't it? Because actually, if they're all God's anyway, and we talk about tithing and giving, then actually they're all God's donuts, so I'm just being obedient to him. And there's kind of three things, really. There's three parts that I want us to go away with this morning to this message. The first one is this. It's to say, well, look, everyone, the God who provided, Genesis 12 onwards, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, he's the God who provided for Abraham. He's also the God who still provides today. This morning I'm not here telling you just a historical account, am I? This is the God who still provides today. It's a great story, but it wasn't just about Abraham, it's about each one of us as well. And this morning, it's true for me, it's true for you personally. It's also true for us corporately, of course, as well. Because if God is Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, the God who provides, then when we start talking about buildings and future and things, then, yeah, it's true for us. It's so true, isn't it? So timely, so relevant, that God is the God who provides for us. We can put our trust in him with real confidence. And it's like, it does feel like there is a, God's given us a promise. God said to us as Ashwood Church that he wants us to grow. That doesn't just mean more people, but it means grow in influence, grow personally, grow spiritually, grow individually. And ultimately, to affect people who don't yet know Jesus. And if that requires a bigger building, then God will provide. There's a guy called Norman Barnes, some of you will know, and he's got a number of interesting phrases. One of them, which I love and I always remember, he says, "God, what God orders, he pays for." And if he was here, he'd go, "What God orders, he pays for." And Norman doesn't mind me doing poor impersonations of him. I don't think he does anyway. But it's true. What God orders, he pays for. So, that's the first point. The second point of my message is, let's look at Abraham and be encouraged. For some of us, this is new, but for some of us it isn't. God's provision wasn't based on Abraham's performance, because if it was, he wouldn't have got it, would he? Too many mess-ups. And yet, despite Abraham's mistakes, and there's so many people in the Bible, there's so many people in the Bible who make mistakes, and yet God still deals with them. I don't know about you, but that's pretty encouraging news for me, because I'm in that camp as well. It means that God doesn't disqualify us. And as I said, later on in the Bible, Abraham is called the father of faith. Look at how he trusted God. And one of the things I want to say today to some of us is, I love when I read this story and I see Abraham's failures and his mistakes and where he messed up. And then he came to this point in the story with Isaac. The Bible says he was mature in his faith. And I believe for some of us, the time is now to recognise that, yeah, we may have been involved in mess-ups, but actually, some of us, it's time to rise up and say, now I'm mature in my faith. There's a sense that for some of us in this room, we need to step out of some of the disappointments, we need to step out of some of the things that might have held us back. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I find as well, as I'm getting older, it becomes harder to do that. It becomes harder to shake off some of these things because we've got experience of disappointments or things that kind of just hold on to us. I love the fact that the young people today are doing Freedom in Christ, because they're getting opportunities, even at an early age, to shake off some of the stuff that they need to be set free from. It's fantastic. It's great. I love it. But some of us here this morning, I really believe that God is saying it's time to rise up and for him to say, there's a maturity in your faith. Let's not be messing about with some of the things where we've messed up. It's time to stand up and look back and say, okay, Martin, father of faith, step up, step out. The great thing is I can stand here, I can say Martin, and I can hit two at the same time. You can't always do that. You can't always do that. Well, I'll show you on the iPad later, but you're both there. You're both there, so God provides. That's why you both sat in a line of sight this morning. So lucky, yeah. No, I don't think that's the way it works. But there are other people. There's other people in this room, I believe, really can't tell you. As I've been praying this week, I see this Abraham thing, and I can just see it's not just encouraging for us. Actually, it's tight. It's got there's a now moment where for some of us we're saying, okay, I've got to step in. I've got to step in to what God's called me, who God's called me to be. I can't be giving excuses on mess ups any longer. And the encouraging thing is that at that point, Abraham suddenly, you know, he's blazing a trail. He trusts in God. And, you know, I said before, we know the story, but just imagine God's told you, you know, here's the knife, here's Isaac, here's the promise. What a level of faith would be required in order to do that? But that's what God, I believe that's what God's calling to. It's an exciting time. Pause for a moment. Tick box if that's you. There's plenty in the room. I know some of them, but I probably don't know all of them. The third point is, all the donuts belong to God. And let's make sure that as God's people, we position ourselves to see that all that God will provide for our every need. I got this quote. It says, overcoming fear isn't about willing yourself into more courage. It comes from knowing the character of the one who goes before you. Okay. So let's finish where we started in Matthew 6. Tamsin's very good at this, isn't she? Operating the visuals. Slick. Matthew 6:31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything. Let's say everything you need. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. That right there is a good piece of good news if you wanted some this morning. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, above buildings, clothes, stuff, future, family. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I believe it's time now more than ever to seek the kingdom of God above all else. That's why we do the stuff we do as church. We do our bit, play our part, small as it sometimes seems, to seek first God's kingdom and position ourselves for his provision. I wonder if we could just close our eyes for a minute. And if God's been speaking to you today, you're prompted a few things. I guess when I asked at the start if there are some people in the room who worry, there may be some of us who are reminding ourselves that Jesus said, don't. But he follows that up, reminds us that the reason we don't worry is because we have a Father in heaven who knows our needs and is ready to provide for them. This morning, with our eyes closed, I wonder if you could just, perhaps we just pause for a moment and respond before him. Maybe there are specific things this morning when we're saying, God, I realised again I need to trust you in this particular area. Maybe you arrived this morning, you already knew about it. Maybe as I spoke this morning, there's something that's just popped into your mind. Maybe I haven't even mentioned it, but it's something that has just been highlighted to you. It's going to take a moment just to respond to God. For some of us this morning, I just can't underline enough, there's a new day, there's a new sense of stepping into this maturity in our faith, where it's almost like, I mean, God's gracious and kind, but it's almost like God is going to make us uncomfortable to settle for the excuses or the get out clauses or the it's too tricky, it's too difficult, I've messed up, made a mistake, been hurt, been offended, no more. If that's you today, even if your name is not Martin, then I really want to encourage you with all that I can to respond to God. So if you're responding to God, you know there's something specific that you want to say to God this morning. I wonder if you could just, I'm not going to do anything else, but I wonder if you could stand, and the rest of us are going to stand in a minute anyway, so you're just getting a bit further ahead. But if that's you today, I wonder if you could just stand just as a kind of recognition that you're responding to God in some way. This is really between you and God, so nobody's looking. It kind of doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, it's just a you and God moment. Father, I'm standing up. And while we're here, I believe that there's going to come a sense of faith as well. If there are promises that you know God has put in front of you, there's going to become some faith and perspective this morning that's available for us to believe and see for the provision that God has provided, God is bringing, God has prepared already beforehand, provision. So if you want some of that, then that's, I believe God is here for that as well. So God, we're responding before you in your presence. Yeah. Here we are, God. Some of us here who got promises over our kids, I just believe that God is wanting to just stir something up in that realm this morning. Some of us who have promises of our kids who aren't yet walking in faith, I believe God wants to give you a renewed sense of faith and energy for that this morning. Why don't the rest of us stand up if you're able to? I guess the question is today, can we, each of us, see God and trust Him as our provider? So Father, as we stand together in Your presence, we thank You that You are our Heavenly Father. Thank You that You never set things in front of us that are impossible for us to achieve. So when You say, don't worry, it's not an unrealistic goal or ambition, challenging though it is. And so Lord, today we choose to position ourselves to see things from Your perspective. That You've provided for us beforehand everything that we need. And we want to step into that, God. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would come in a mighty way this morning, touch our lives. Those of us who responded to You, Father, I believe that there is an anointing this morning to step out of the old and step into the new. To see You as provider, to see You as El Shaddai, to see You as Jehovah Jireh. God, would You do it? In Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 4:19 says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." The truth is, God's provided it all.